This is Petey Pidge.
I am Mike.
J-Mac.
Brutal Dudes.
All right, what's up, folks? Hey, welcome to the very first episode of Brutal Dudes. I'm here with J-Mac. This is Petey Pidge, and I got Mike. We're going to be, I think what we decided is to have our favorite or and or best and or most epic concert story for this first episode. And I think that, I mean, we were all like racking our brains before this trying to figure out which one.
I mean.
And we got a lineup, we got a Rolodex. We could maybe have like a future episode of Concert Stories Part 2.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Concert Stories.
Listen.
Electric Boogaloo.
I feel like, yeah, right.
Right.
Concert Stories 2, The Return, like Cocoon.
Yeah.
Get Steve Guttenberg to sit in and do a guest spot.
Inevitably, there will be Concert Stories 3D. I mean, it's audio, but you guys get it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think that's great. I feel like a grizzled old, like a seafaring, like a fucking captain. Like, arr.
I feel that all
I've
the time.
I've got concert oh stories that you don't even know about from the 90s and the early and the early 2000s.
I am at the age where I get those, like, back in my day stories, like, pretty frequently now that I'm saying them.
Right, and they're my day. Yeah. That's what sucks, dude. Like, yeah. People will be like, oh, I remember when I saw Korn 20 years ago, and I'm like, that was 20 fucking years ago I saw Korn? God damn it. Like, what? How did I get here?
Yeah,
and now you got Tekashi 6ix9ine and these fucking weirdos doing shows. Like, come on.
I mean, yeah,
heyday's over.
No, when I heard like when like Rage Against the Machine and Run the Jewels were touring together, and I was like, I didn't get to see them the first time around. And I was like, oh yeah, it's because I was like 11 the first time around. I don't think my mother's gonna let me go to Rage Against the Machine.
Bro, I remember when all my friends went to see Rage Against the Machine and Wu-Tang Clan. And I was so pissed that I didn't get a ticket because they were handing out water and chicken at the fucking concert. And I'm like, I would have loved to have eaten chicken with Raekwon, dude. That would be so cool. Capadonna hands me a fucking Arcadia spring water.
I have a great Capadonna story. That's not going to be today's story. That'll be on one of the sequel episodes. That's a little tease, so you guys come back.
Teaser!
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So, I mean, I can go first. I'll start with my story.
Yeah, go for it.
Should I, like, introduce me? Or?
Yeah.
So yeah, my name's Pete. I'm originally from Buffalo, New York. I mean, we're filming this in Northeast Philadelphia. I've been in this area for like a few years. But I've seen concerts like in Buffalo. I've seen concerts out here. I don't make it a priority to see festivals and concerts, but I do love it. I do love the live aspect of it and the energy of it. I think it's just something totally different. But yeah, I think my best concert story, and it's really funny because like I love going to metal shows and rock shows, but my best concert story has to be when I went and I saw Streetlight Manifesto, Real Big Fish, and Whole Wheat Bread. And I think MXPX was there too. It was just a ska show, and it was at a little venue in downtown Buffalo. I can't even remember the name of it. I have to call my brother because he knows it better. But literally, it was like, it had the tiniest bar. And then we went during a summer show, so the back of the venue was a garage door that would open up and let the air in, which was still like 80 degree air, but it was better than like sweaty body, like tiny bar. And yeah, all in all, it was a great show. Streetlight was amazing. They did Keys Be Nights. Real Big Fish was amazing. Just the energy that they bring to the place. Whole Wheat Bread was cool. I'd never heard of them before, but it was like an all black ska band.
It's also better for your heart.
Well, yeah, true. True. I'm a Wonder Bread kind of guy. They turned me on.
I've tried rye. It's just a little too tough. Whole wheat bread is just, you know, there's a few seeds in there, but it's good.
That's fair.
Continue, I apologize.
No, that's good. But it was the first time, so it was myself, my younger brother, and my buddy Brad. We all went together, and I can't remember how old I was. I was definitely like 18, 19, somewhere around there. But, like, my brother had only been to, like, metal shows with me. He's a year younger than me. And they had a skank pit going. And so for anyone who's not versed in ska culture, because I know this is loud and loaded, but ska can be pretty loud. Trumpets, man, whew, they'll kill you. Like, it's just a pit where you're just, like, kicking and dancing around and circling around. And it's all good vibes. It's like, I feel like ska's, like, the next level of hippie, you know? Like, it's like hippie 2.0. Like, it's just, I know it's, like, a lot of fedoras and, like, vans.
It's like hippies with a dress code.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, brass instruments or like woodwind instruments.
It's like hippies if they weren't outside, but they were in the attic of their grandparents and they were trying to find like clothes to wear.
Yeah.
That's how I feel like
Ska is. I feel like Jethro Tull was like ahead of their time with Ska, like with the jazz flute. Like they were just like, they're like, we're going to throw this into our music, and people really dug it and liked it. And then like, you know, you have this jump to like,
what do you full. Call, what is it called? Is it a flautist?
I believe it's a flautist.
Flautist.
Yes.
That sounds right.
They have their own flautist.
They do.
He also took Metallica's Grammy, but that's a totally different thing.
Well,
I apologize.
No, another episode.
Again, I apologize. Continue.
No, it's fine. But I was like, we were towards like the back of the venue, and this huge pit had opened up of just people dancing. Like, there's nobody pushing, nobody shoving, nobody thrashing. Just, again, good vibes and good times. And I remember my brother standing next to me, and we're like, we're rocking out, we're loving the music, we're having a good time. And he like, he just takes off his glasses and folds them up and hands them to me. And I was like, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm jumping in. And I'm like, jumping in? Like, to the pit? And he's like, yeah, I'm going to do it. And so we're literally like at the edge of the pit, and he's like winding up. Like, he's like winding up, and we were both big dudes. And he's winding up to just starting pistol's going to go, and he's just going to like take right off. And I'm looking at him like, what are you doing? And he literally, at some point, just like thrusts both arms forward into this like person that is a foot shorter than he is, and like a bucko five soaking wet. And I've never seen somebody fly so far in my life. But he just shoves this person, and they go flying right into the middle of the pit. And then he just jumps in, thrashing his arms around and dancing. And my jaw hits the floor. And my buddy who I was with, like, taps me on the shoulder. And, like, we look at each other. And he's just, it was almost like he just killed somebody. Like, my brother just killed somebody in the middle of this guy show.
Scene.
Like, he was just like, you have to save him. Like, he's not doing this right.
Get
so,
out
like,
of here. Get Pat out of here.
That's exactly what I did. I, like, ran in and I grabbed him and I yanked him out of the pit. And while everyone else is helping up this poor person, this poor tiny person,
yeah,
this poor deceased reports today of one person dead at the Ska show. My mother's like, I knew it was the devil's music.
A real big fish concert ended in tragedy as a large man threw a tiny man across the pit.
There was a shark attack.
It was a real big fish happened.
Yeah. It's bound to happen. And so like I yank him out of the pit, and I was like, dude, it's a Ska pit. And he was like, oh, I didn't know.
That's what the trumpets were.
Yeah. Or like it's a skank pit.
The Ska kids are like so scared.
Yeah.
Like, what's happening? There's blood all over my suspenders.
Right? Puts fedoras and Vans everywhere.
Somebody stepped on my slip-on Vans. I don't even know where the front of the shoe is.
Yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure he like knocked them out of their slip-ons. I'm 100% certain that happened. But then he was just like, oh, I didn't know. In the moment, I was like, I'll give it to you. It's fine. So we, like, moved out of that area and then proceeded to enjoy the rest of the show for the rest of the evening. But, like, the more that I thought about it, when he was like, I didn't know, it's like, you had your glasses. You took off your glasses.
You didn't watch the pit.
You were watching the pit, waiting for your moment to strike.
That's why he didn't know, because he took his glasses off.
Oh, my God.
He's like, what's all this chaos happening around me? I don't know what's going on.
I better save that kid's life.
I hear a brass section. He heard Baywatch music, and he jumped in like Mitch to save that kid.
Yeah.
Little did he know, there was no water anywhere.
No, it's like he takes off his glasses, and he enters like the alternate universe. It's like, oh, my God.
It's like, what's that, Over the Top, where Stallone turns his hat backwards? And
he turns his hat backwards.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I turn my hat backwards, I'm different.
That's my brother.
Yeah.
Sometimes we take my glasses off.
I have never,
we've been in metal shows, and I have never seen it like go that hard. And he was just like, I'm going for it. I don't know if he was working out some demons that day or what.
Sometimes.
But I don't think the Ska show was the place to work out the demons.
She has a girlfriend.
Yeah. That is my absolute favorite concert story. And it cracks me up. Like, we were joking about it for a week. And I was like, remember that time you murdered that person at the Ska show?
You should have taken the slip-ons that were left behind. and he should have sewed them together and made like a necklace, like, like Viking warrior. Like, and it's just all ska like stuff.
Oh my God.
Weird pins with like ska bands on them and like half mohawks that aren't shaved on the sides.
And it's a suspender. It's just Vans sewn through like the ears. You punch a hole in the sole of the Van. You feed a suspender through, and it's your like your trophy necklace from the ska.
What are all those from? You'll find out soon.
Dead ska kids.
Dead ska kids.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I don't know, so we were going to concerts a lot at the time. There was one show we saw. It was Finger 11 and Chevelle. I won free tickets.
Both of those bands.
But we were doing this thing in the pit. The pit had opened up to an obscene size, way too big for this venue. Like, nobody was in it. And so we were like, let's just slingshot people across. So we were literally linking hands and winding up, and then using our hands to bring momentum and like launching people across this pit. There. And I think we went to that show before the ska show, like literally a couple months before the ska show. And I think there was some of that residual like slingshot.
Well, you guys got that buffalo energy, that buffalo tailgate energy that you probably bring into the show, because don't you guys also like put people through tables at the buffalo?
No. We course correction. We don't put people through tables. People put themselves through tables. It is a blood sacrifice.
Okay.
To the red, white, and blue.
Jim Kelly.
Of like the red is the blood.
Thurman Thomas.
The white is just who we are, and the blue is the frostbite we get from sitting it shirtless in -20 degree rather than watch the Bills play.
You ever see any of this online? This is like amazing. They like they're tailgating. They'll put people like off the top of cars through tables.
Campers.
They jump off.
Campers. They'll be tailgating campers in the parking lot. Someone will climb to the top of the camper through and they'll have one of those white
like WWE
folding tables. And people won't put wipes if it's like consensual. Otherwise, people will literally just go and like shoulder drop themselves through a table.
I'm glad that they have to ask permission that it's consensual.
Oh, yeah. Consensual pile driver. Yeah. Or power bomb. Yeah.
Dude, nothing is more satisfying than a Randy Savage elbow drop, even if it's on a solo cup. Like,
so, consensual pile driver was my nickname in high school.
That's a great name for a band.
Right? No, there have literally been stories of the, like, Lowe's and Home Depot. I mixed those companies up. Like, Lowe's, Home Depot, Costco, Walmart. When the Bills are in town, they will literally, like, hide their stock of folding tables in the back. There have literally been stories of this.
Halloween night, Grant Giant used to, we used to have to not sell people eggs. You can only sell a certain amount of eggs because people are Mischief Night, because people would buy eggs in droves and then like make excuses for why they were like, we're making a lot of omelets. And it's like, really? Are you? Because I'm not an idiot. Like, I know that you're not making a lot of omelets, but as long as you promise not to do anything to anyone in the parking lot, I always just let them go.
I'm a Ruby. Just don't mess with my car.
I love quiche.
Yeah, right.
You have no idea the amount of French toast that I consume in one sitting.
Right.
Okay.
Don't you judge me in my egg consumption.
I see those
First
eyes.
Off, I'm pro-choice. Clarence Thomas over there.
I see those eyes.
Jesus.
I see those eyes. And I don't like them.
You know, we were just talking about Stallone. He's like, I'm on the Rocky diet. Like, you know, just two eggs in the morning for breakfast. That's it.
Two couple eggs. Walk my dog Buckus. I was going to name my dog Buckus, but then I realized it was named after Dick Buckus, which doesn't make any sense, because if he's from Philly, why would he have a Chicago coach as the name of his dog? But hey, whatever. What are you going to do?
That's another episode. We can do a deep dive.
Dude. There's one of them. I told you that what I would love to look at, you know, not to give it a little bit, another teaser for another episode, but I would love to do an analyzation of, are we really looking at the right villain for different movies? Like, because a lot of I've been looking back on a lot of movies and I'm like, that's not the real bad guy. So, tempting.
I do.
I know you guys love it.
Mike, I do want to hear your Rick Springfield concert story.
Yes.
Yeah, so mine is Rick Springfield, as you probably guessed.
That's amazing.
And so...
Just Jesse's girl, right?
It's Jesse's girl. So, I just go into a Slayer show, and I have a long history with Slayer, but at that time, I was just a fan of Slayer, and we went to a Slayer show. And my friend, this was a day later or 2 days later, he's like, I know we just went to Slayer. He calls me up. He's like, I know we just went to Slayer. And he's like, my aunt won tickets to go and see Bruce Springsteen. Do you want to go? Here's the thing. I hate Bruce Springsteen.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of the Boss either. I mean, I like a couple of his songs.
Here's where I'm the minority finally because I love the Boss. See? I'm a Springsteen dude.
I'm not a Springsteen guy, but I've always heard his live shows are amazing. So I was like, yeah, it's a free ticket, and I'd love to see like a good live performance. Oh, yeah. Like, and maybe that'll make me a fan, like seeing some incredible live performance. So I'm always open minded to stuff. I was like, yeah, man, let's go. So she comes in, picks us up, and she's like, yeah, I won these tickets to Bruce Springsteen. And I was like, where is it? And she's like, it's at the racetrack, which is now Parks Casino. But at the time, it was the racetrack. Yeah. I'm like, Bruce Springsteen's playing at the racetrack?
Before it was called Parks Casino, which is a dirty old place for horses, right?
Dirty racetrack. And I was like, that seems like a weird spot. But like, all right, we get there. It's Rick Springfield. Not Bruce Springsteen. Rick Springfield. Jesse's girl, Rick Springfield. So we get there, and she's like, wait, these signs look weird. And she's looking at the tickets, and she's like, oh, I got the name wrong. It's Rick Springfield. She's like, who's that? We're like, Jesse's girl.
Yeah.
Weirdly, I'm more excited now. Because I don't actually like
Bruce Springsteen. That's not weird at all, dude.
But I was like, Jesse's girl's a great fucking song. Like, I'm kind of pumped now. Let's go see what this
is. He's gonna play it. Like, you know he's gonna play it.
And what other, does he have another song that he could play?
He had an album.
So,
or a few.
It's a lot of, like, cougar types there.
And
totally random dudes from, like, all walks of life. And then, like, cougar types. Like, that's what it is. So we get there. And next to the stage is a giant rock climbing wall, like you would see.
Oh, like American Gladiators.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yes.
Huge rock climbing wall. And I'm like, that's weird. Like, that's just out.
Does he climb it while he's singing?
So, well, this comes into play.
Yeah.
So, sick. There's all these people gathered around, and it was a decent sized crowd in this dirt field in a random spot. Yeah. But there's a few hundred people there, which is probably more than I would have guessed Rick Springfield was going to pull out. So there's a few hundred people there, and we're all kind of, like, gathered around. And when we came in, they, like, gave us these tickets, like raffle tickets or whatever. I'm like, what are these for? And somebody's like, oh, they're drink tickets. And I was like, what? Because we were definitely underage. And I was like, drink tickets for, like, a beer? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, fuck, yeah. So me and my friend, like, run over. They give us our drink ticket beers, and then because they've seen us, they don't card us when we come back.
Nice.
And we got the drink tickets because it was part of the contest that she won the tickets for.
Wow.
Like, we got, like, 4 free beers or something. So now we're just going up and buying beers, and they're not questioning it because we won the tickets or whatever. So they're not questioning it. So we're hammered by the time Rick Springfield goes on. He comes out. Seems like he's not in the mood to play. Seems like kind of angsty, but weirdly, it worked for him. Like, it was like angry Rick Springfield.
Damn.
Like, playing these songs, and he's like, all right, motherfuckers, we're gonna play. Like, he's all mad and stuff. And we're kind of like,
a fucking chick named Jesse. You ever hear that song? You that bitch, Jesse.
Like, growling it.
So he's all like angry. We're fucking hammered, and it's a weird crowd, and I'm like, this is kind of cool.
That's great.
Well, as it starts going on, people start, like, kind of pushing each other. And it's not like a pit, but, like, people are jumping up and down and kind of, like, banging into each other, and everybody's drunk and having a good time. And Rick Springfield's like, yeah, it's a fucking concert. Let me see you move.
Yeah.
He's clearly hammered, too, and getting into it, and I'm like,
Damn. This
is pretty cool. And my friend goes, I'm going to climb the rock wall. Now, neither one of us are athletic gentlemen, but I'm like, yeah, man, that sounds like a great idea, because I'm drunk, too. So I'm like, that's a great fucking idea.
That's what it's there for.
Yeah, like, obviously they want you to climb the rock wall. So we get over there, and there's, like, one staff member there, and we're like, hey, is this, like, open? Can people just use this? They're like, I don't know, I'm not on rock wall. So we're just like, so can we just do that? And he's like, I'm not on rock wall, so it's not my job to stop you. So my friend's like, fuck it, I'm going up the rock wall.
Here's my drink ticket, I'm up.
Here's my drink tickets. So we pound a few more beers. He's like, I'm going up the rock wall. So there's like a harness. We don't know how to put the harness. He just like wraps it around his neck or something. He's like, I got it. So he starts up the rock wall very slowly because he's drunk and never climbed a rock wall before. So very slowly he's kind of like going up the rock wall. The crowd's getting more into it. Like, people are jumping and screaming. And, like, the crowd's kind of moving and stuff, and Rick Springfield's going nuts, and he's, like, smashing bottles on stage and stuff. Crazy. So my friend's like halfway up the rock wall. Fucking Jesse's Girl starts.
Yeah.
Dude, the crowd goes insane.
Yeah.
Now it's a pit. People are shoving each other. They're running. They're screaming. Yeah.
You guys ready? We're going to do Jesse's Girl featuring my friend, Karen King from Slayer.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know what fucking song this is? Jin, 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 jin,
jin, jin, jin, jin, jin. Oh my God.
The whole crowd is like moving. My friend's on the rock wall. People are slamming into this rock wall.
No.
And I'm looking at the security guys like, I'm not on rock wall.
Not on rock wall.
So my friend's like, what the fuck? And like hanging off of this rock wall. And of course, the harness is not on him. Yeah. So if he falls, he dies. Like, that's how that story ends. Because he's pretty high up there. People are smashing into this rock wall. I'm like, fuck, I don't know what to do. And sure enough, halfway through Jesse's Girl, he loses his grip. Swings outwards, the thing tightens around him, slams him back into the fucking rock wall.
Oh.
He tried to brace himself with his knees.
So he did it. He did an American guy. He's like,
fucking smashed into the rock wall with his knees. And I could like see a bone break from down there. Like just looking at him, I was like, he can't walk anymore. Like that was. That was last time he walked. It was climbing up a rock wall. That was last time his legs worked.
To Jesse's Girl.
Yeah, he died to Jesse's Girl. Yeah. That's what I'm going to say at his funeral. So Jesse's Girl ends. That's the end of the show. Of course, that's the last song.
Right, yeah.
So, and Rick's was like, fuck you guys, I'm leaving. Smashes another beer bottle or something. And
I hate horses, fucking jerks.
Yeah. So, and everybody, like, leaves, and he's just, like, hanging, swinging at the rock wall. And security guy's still there. He's like, he looks bad, man. I'm like, can we get a rock wall guy to see if we can, like, get
who
him?
Who is on rock wall?
Who, can somebody help?
Yeah. Do you have a guy?
Yeah. So my friend's aunt, who won the tickets, comes up. She's like, what happened to him? I'm just like, you would not believe me.
Gemini, Turbo, and Laser all came and challenged him to climb up that wall. And he was not going to let you down.
So somehow we got him down. I don't even remember how at all. But, like, he couldn't walk. Like, his knee was, like, swelled up. Like,
yeah.
It looked like there was, like, two softballs in his pant leg.
Oh, God. Was it broken?
Yeah. So we had to take him to the hospital. And I'm calling home, and I'm like, hey, I'm going to be late. I'm like, yeah, my friend's in the hospital. What happened? So we went to see Rick Springfield, and during the mosh pit in Jesse's Girl, he was halfway up the rock wall, and the mosh pit hit the rock wall, and he broke his knee. I know that sounds like I just made all that up, but I was like, that is legitimately what just happened.
I know this sounds like I'm reading a Mad Lib, but really this is exactly what happened.
This is exactly what happened, Dad, I swear, because I'm underage.
Jesse's Girl is a dangerous, dangerous song to play in public.
The hardest song of all time, Jesse's Girl.
I don't know how he is in like actual person, but he seemed like he died recently, right?
I don't think so.
Now
who died? Eddie Money.
Oh yeah.
I get them confused all the time.
Yeah.
Rick Springfield wrote a book, like a fiction novel, where he gets molested by a babysitter, and then he hunts for the Loch Ness Monster. I know that sounds ridiculous too, but it
doesn't surprise me though.
It's actually very well written. It's just really weird. I have it. I don't know where I have it. I might have sold it back.
I want to know the title.
100%.
I'm going to go read
it. It's a real book, and I read it, and I was like, this isn't going to be any good because I'm like a lot of times guys with like that write books, they're just not that good.
Right.
This one was legitimately a good fiction book. I'm like, damn, Rick Springfield is really cool.
Is it World on Fire?
No. He has more than one book?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't stop.
That's a magnificent vibration. Yeah, because he ends up being able to communicate with the Loch Ness Monster. And the Loch Ness Monster, like, talks to him in his dreams. I swear to God, I'm not making it up. It's fucking great.
No.
It's fucking great. That's wild. Also, they did a sequel to Jesse's Girl. He did with Coheed and Cambria. I think it's on their new album.
Oh, yeah. I did.
Because CJ loves Coheed, and he was telling me, shout out CJ. He loves Coheed, and he was like, yeah, dude, they did a sequel to Jesse's Girl. I was like, what's the sequel? Didn't she cheat on him? Isn't that the whole idea? Like, she's not with him and didn't get her?
No, he really wants Jesse's Girl.
Oh.
Yeah. So does really Jesse's his friend.
Yeah.
And he wants to bang his friend's girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. I guess Jesse's Girl. I guess it's kind of self-explanatory.
Ooh.
I never really looked at the depth of the song.
We should have, like, really good... Oh,
we should think of sequels to
other songs. That'd be a great episode.
Rain of Blood 2?
Like...
We'll get the Slayer guys on, like, pitch it to them.
Sleet of blood.
We'll help them write it.
Yeah. Like, listen. But, so I asked my dad to come pick me up at the hospital and explain the whole story to him. So as I'm ready to leave, I was like, hey, I got to go. My dad's picking me up. He's like, no, that's cool. He's like, but listen. He's like, if anybody asks, this happened at Slayer. And I was like, are you ashamed of it? He's like, it just sounds made up that I was on the rock wall and the mosh pit kicked in on Jesse's girl at the Rick Springfield show.
I guess at the time I could understand that. Yeah. But like now telling it, it's much better than it's Rick Springfield.
Oh, yeah.
I just keep imagining Rick Springfield be like, all right, motherfuckers, wall of death and Jesse's girl. Like, you just line up like, oh, wall of death.
If I don't see you fuckers in the pit for this song, right now we're going to cover Peter Gabriel's In Your Eyes featuring Twinkie from Marilyn Manson.
Jesus Christ.
That's awesome. That's a good one.
That is fantastic.
Are you guys ready? You guys ready?
Yeah, okay. Pass it off to JMC. Let's go.
All right. So anyone that knows me that's out there listening has probably heard this story more than once because this is one story that has been retold numerous times. I would like to preface this story with the first half I'm telling you from the mouth of Matt Mazzarini because I don't remember the first half happening. The second half is my actual recollection of what happened in the show. Anyway, Seven Dust at the time had just released the album Seasons, which was their fourth album, which is a great album. If you haven't heard it, go for it.
It's the one Seven Dust album of my own, I think.
Yeah, it's probably, honestly, it's probably their best album besides Home, which is the one with Denial on it. That was their first like hit album. But their first four records are aces. Anything after that, you're going to get two or three songs that are good, and then after that, it's like you kind of have to pick and choose because they all kind of sound the same. I still like Seven Dust. I think they're a cool band and cool people. And this is why I think they're cool people. So I've seen them numerous times. We decided to go see them at the TLA. The TLA used to be a burlesque theater in Philadelphia that got converted into an actual venue for concerts. And it's set up like an actual theater. So there's a round, it's like a half moon stage. And then you have, it fans out into the crowd. And then there's like an upper area where all the drinks are. We get there super early because it's Seven Dust, 30 Seconds to Mars, and I swear to God, I don't remember the first band, the opening band, which is terrible of me because they weren't that bad. So, probably six or seven of my friends, we had a crew back in the day that we all used to go to concerts with, and we decided to get tickets for this concert. When we get to the concert, we end up seeing a crew of other friends that were there that went on their own. So, there's about 20 of us that we all know each other that are like, dude, let's hang for the concert. So, we get there. We're in the crowd. The first band comes on, and they're okay. I don't remember anything significant about them, you know, specifically. I just remember them being okay. After they get off stage, you know, there's usually about a 20-25 minute break where the next band will come on. Well, we're standing near the stage. We're very close to the stage, probably like a row from the actual stage, because there's no, like, metal barrier in front of the stage. It just goes right up to the stage. Hmm. So we're there, we're talking in the crowd, and all of a sudden, now remember, I don't remember this, all of a sudden I get jarred in my back, like somebody just hit me, and I turn around and there's this group of people and there's a dude there. Now again, at the time I had no idea who Jared Leto is, and just for the record, fuck Jared Leto. However, this is what I'm going to say. I didn't know who he was when I turned around. I hadn't watched my so-called life. I didn't never seen Requiem for a Dream or that douchebag movie that he did. Whatever other horse shit that he was in, I never saw any of it. And I never listened to his shitty band. So I turned around and my first instinct at this time, I'm 23 maybe, I didn't like getting pushed in the back. So I turned around, I'm like, yo, say excuse me there, dude. And he stops. And his little four-person entourage stops too. And he goes, excuse me? And I said, you could say, excuse me, jackass, because you just ran right into my back. And he goes, do you got a problem? Now, at this point, I was told that my friend Matt and my friend Mazzarini are like, dude, that's Jared Leto. And I was told, I said, I don't give a fuck who he is. He can say he's sorry when he runs into somebody and hits them in their back. That's a jerk-off move. So we stared each other down for a little bit. My friends are like, dude, we didn't even get to Seven Dust yet. You're going to get us kicked out. I'm like, I'm good. I'm cool. Mr. Leto walks along his merry way and goes up on stage. So a couple more minutes pass by. He's up on stage. They come out, 30 Seconds to Mars comes out, they blow. And I don't mean regular blow. I mean, like, if your fan or anything that produces air, the propellers on your airplane were hit with a lightning bolt and had extra juice. That's how much they blew. They were terrible. Me being the person that I was at 23 starts mercilessly booing this band, which I had been known to do if the band sucked. I would boo them insane amounts. Ooh. So I am one row from the stage and his microphone is directly above me. And I'm, boo, you suck, get off the stage, you fucking douchebag. And I'm anything you can think of. Lots more inappropriate, disgusting things I said to him because I didn't have a filter. And I was screaming. They get two songs in, and Jared decides that he's going to address the crowd because they're all booing him. I don't know if it had anything to do with the fact that I was as vehemently booing him as I was, but I like to believe that I was leading the charge in this social justice that needed to be taken care of.
Well, he's a man of the people. He was in the crowd, bumping into people.
Yeah, oh yeah. He's trying to start a bit.
Rubbing elbows with the common folk.
He wanted to be down in the Philly dirt.
Right.
So he gets on the mic and he goes, and I remember this very vividly, word for word, what he said. You know, for all you haters out there, we're just trying to do something different with our music. And I said, you fucking suck. And I'm screaming at him and telling him how terrible he is. And he's out. He's like, you know, and he babbled on for another 2 minutes. And he goes, you know, and we should just walk off the stage. And I was like, yeah, walk off the stage. Queer, do it. Yeah. He turns and he goes, yeah, yeah, and he looks right at me. So I cleared my friend's back, and I looked right at him and pointed at him, two fingers in the air, and I said, come on, motherfucker, step down here. I will beat the shit out of you. And he's like, yeah? So he goes like he's going to unstrap his guitar, and then security just swarms him, and then they come towards us, and they're like, you know, calm down, calm down. I said, don't tell me to calm down. Jackass is going to come off the stage. I'll beat the fuck out of him. I don't care. Throw me out. My friends are like, dude, calm down, calm down. I'm like, no, come on, bring it. Everybody gets calmed down. There was no fight. One of the things I regret most about the story is that I didn't actually punch him in the face because later on, finding out all the things I found out about him and how much of a fucking jit face he is, I wish I would have punched him in the face because it would have been a much cooler event. However, they leave the stage. They don't finish their set. We had to wait like another half hour for Seven Dust to even get their sound check going. They get their sound check going. They start playing. Seven Dust was absolutely amazing. It was one of the best times I've ever seen them play. During the show, probably 4 or 5 songs in, we're in the same spot. And LeJean, the lead singer of Seven Dust, comes over and he goes, hey, you guys having a good time? And we're like, yeah. You know, he's starting his crowd work. And he goes, do you guys like whatever the name of the first band was? Because I honestly don't remember where they are. And we're like, I was like, yeah. And then he says, you guys like 30 Seconds to Mars? And all the fucking posers that were behind me and all throughout that arena were like, yeah. And I said, loud as I could after they cheered, I said, they fucking suck. And the guitar player, Clint, looks at me, points to me, because he's right in front of me, and gives me a thumbs up. So I knew at that point that I had been validated that Jared Leto is a complete and total tool face. So then they play another 2 songs, and LeJean comes bounding over while he's singing and comes over to Clint and puts his arm over him. And Clint whispers in his ear and then points to me. And LeJean goes and gives me a thumbs up, too. So what I had heard, and I don't know if this is 100% true for this specific tour, but I heard that he was such a fucking jackass backstage during his concerts for 30 Seconds to Mars that the bands that he opened for all couldn't fucking stand him. And they did their best to, like, make their shows bad and outdo them because they sucked. They really, I don't know if musically they did suck. To be honest with you, I haven't listened to anything from Jared Leto without complete and utter disdain since then. They were really slow, and it was very tonal music, and I wasn't into that at the time anyway, especially at a show like Seven Dust, where...
Yeah, it seems like, and I hate 30 Seconds to Mars, so yeah. This is going to sound biased no matter what, but it sounds like that's a off pairing.
Yeah, it's a very off pairing because Seven Dust is a very high energy. They have slow songs, and like Angel's Son is a slow song, but it's got an intensity to it when he sings it because he feels the lyrics. And when you're doing slower songs or songs that have, you know, deeper meaning or like quiet songs, if you're not singing them intensely, they sound like you're just going through the motions. with Seven Dust, I never felt that. But with them, I felt like it was like, oh, look at these pretty lights that we're putting on. And I'm a musician. I was also in a show with Claire Danes, who's like the ugliest chick that's ever been on television and has no titties at all. Like, she's completely boy-chested. But
That was one of their songs?
Yeah. No, that's actually track two on the second album.
Wow. Woof. How did they fit that on the back of the jewel case?
It's just really tiny font.
Wow. Jewel cases, kids.
Jewel cases.
Yeah, you don't smoke stuff out of them. It's where you put CDs. Yeah. Sorry.
CDs, kids.
Plastic that plays music.
But
you don't plug anything into it. Never mind. We're not going
to. Ever since then. So there was a period of time where me and Maz didn't speak for about 10 years after we graduated.
Because of that?
No, after we got out of school. We had a falling out. Turns out, Maz, in his job currently, which I won't say because I don't know if he wants me to broadcast that he does this.
Sure.
But he uses this story as a motivational story to teach people in his corporate job.
To hate Jared Leto.
To hate Jared Leto, yes. it's definitely what his job is.
It's probably Morbius fan.
But he told me he uses this story and he tells it all the time. And when we reconnected, he said, it's very funny that you called me up because I just got done teaching a class where I used your story. And that's how I found out the first part of the story, because he told me, and I was like, I don't remember any of the first part, but I remember the second part. I said, I remember harassing him. I don't remember him hitting me in the back. He goes, dude, he jacked you like your glasses went sideways on your head. That's how hard he hit you in the back. And I'm like, well, good. Ever since this moment, he hasn't had a successful movie and hasn't had like something that everyone like universally said he's great since this happened. So I like to believe that I put a little Irish juju on him when I started booing him, that I accidentally hexed him.
You hit him with the whammy.
I hit him with the whammy, dude. Yeah. But to this day, I refuse to, until Jared Leto, if you're listening, you fucking cocksucker, I will say this. I will never stop slamming you until you apologize for hitting me in the back all those years ago. And until you do,
at the TLA,
I will, and until you do, I will continue to tell you how terrible your movies are, how much of a fucking moron you sound like when you go on, and all the stories I hear about you backstage, how much I think of you're an idiot. Now, if you call and apologize, I'm willing to bury the hatchet.
That's great.
But I'm going to tell you this right now. I don't think you're going to call, because I don't think you have the scroat to come mouth to mouth with me, because we won't be face to face. And talk to me. It's an old.
I don't think you had the balls to make out with me. Yeah. On the show. I don't think you.
I want an apology.
I
don't think you're going
to
come down here. We're going to take all of our clothes off. We're going to rub each other down with essential oils. You listening, pussy?
We're doing Greco-Roman wrestling. Yeah. That's what we're doing.
I will fucking flip you and throw you around like an old Roman fucking warrior. I don't even care. You matter of fact, I don't even care how we mend this fence. You want to play me in Donkey Kong? Bring it the fuck on, dude. You want to throw javelins in the fucking field? I don't care. I'll beat you. But either way, till you make that amends and that apology, you are my mortal enemy, and I will never stop dissing you. Morbius sucked.
Well, yeah, that's universal.
And I was glad in Fight Club when you got the shit kicked out of you. When you died in Lord of War with Nicolas Cage.
He was in that?
Yeah, he got blown up. He was a brother.
Oh, I don't remember that one.
He did heroin. He got hooked on heroin. Oh. And then he went over to wherever.
I enjoyed that movie. I didn't know he was in that one.
Movie was great.
Yeah.
You know why it's great? Because he gets shot in the head. That was my favorite part. I was like, oh, this is a comedy. I was like, this isn't. They're like, this is so tragic. I was like, tragic? This is great.
You were talking about that, like, 30 Seconds to Mars, 7 Dust mismatch. Like, I would definitely put 30 Seconds to Mars in, like, that emo category.
Yeah.
Like, of that time.
Oh, yeah.
And 7 Dust is obviously metal.
Well, but there's also emo bands that they could, like, I feel like Newfound Glory would be good with 7 Dust, because even though they're different types of music, the intensity is there. I've seen Newfound Glory. They're great.
Yeah.
Or, like, somebody like, I mean, off the top of my head, like Lagwagon or
that's great.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Somebody like that, that would be cool. Streetlight would have been good. But it's like, because they could match the intensity, because that's what I think is more important with a show, is matching the intensity of, like, do you remember when we went to see Every Time I Die and it was the festival, it was Tit the Season?
Yeah.
That's a story for another concert story, but it was like Reggie in the Full Effect, and In Flames, yeah. Ice Nine Kills, and then Every Time I Die. And those are like vastly different bands, but they brought the same energy. And they were very good. I remember the first Family Values tour I was at. It was like Ice Cube, Rammstein, Orgy, Limp Bizkit, and Korn. And I'm like, you don't get much different than that. But it was like Ice Cube brought the same intensity that like Rammstein brought. And I'm like, that's what I'm looking for. Not some fucking pretentious dickhead actor to come on stage and tell me how great he is. You think Keanu Reeves goes on when he plays with Dogstar and comes up and says, you know, guys, I really think that this band of mine is great. Here's the Rolling Stones. Like, no, he doesn't fucking do that. Bruce Willis talks about his fucking band, about how great they are when they open for fucking, I don't know, Dexy's Midnight Runners? No. He doesn't. Oh, fuck man. You, Jared Leto.